The Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Reoccurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found in his Washington Times column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for The Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but aren't Christians always trying to censor books and censor movies? Well, some are. Yes, some, unfortunately, not as many as we used to see happen, but still a significant amount, but not all of us. Let me be abundantly clear on that point. Not me. Certainly not my guest film critic, Mark Boobian. If you've heard him before, I think you could already guess he doesn't believe in censorship. And I will be bringing Mark on in just a few minutes. Welcome to our sanctuary. We call this show a sanctuary, meaning specifically, even though we're a Christian program, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters. We always invite questions, comments, dissent. I do want to give Mark the high majority of our program today, but before I do, let me read a few of those comments that are supposed to be so welcome. Otherwise, how will I prove to you that I really welcome them? This first email is from Cindy in La Mesa. She listened to me last Thursday night when I was guest hosting the Rick Amato show. She said, "Great show, Bob. I respected the way you treated the caller who disagreed with you. You were very gracious. I also liked the bumper music. Gabriella Hoffman was great." Well, I appreciate the encouraging words, Cindy, and thank you very much. But for the audience, I had a very specific reason for reading Cindy's letter, and it wasn't just to stroke my back. I do have two specific reasons. First of all, she mentioned Gabriella Hoffman. I will be interviewing Gabriella again next week on my own program. Gabriella is a sophomore at UCSD and a conservative activist. That's right, you heard me correctly. A conservative activist at one of our college campuses. You will want to listen in and meet this impressive young lady. But also, the caller that Cindy is referring to, his name was Tim. He took issue on the Rick Amato show with an argument I had made for the existence of God. And he is planning on calling my show 2 weeks from today. I invited him to do it in a couple of weeks because I want him to come on at a time when I don't have scheduled guests. And we have a guest today, and we're going to have a guest next week. So I wanted him to call at a time when he and I could really get into it. Meanwhile, that particular Rick Amato show that Cindy, the emailer, is talking about, that can be found on Rick's website, amatotalk.com. That's amatotalk.com. It'll also be linked for a few more days on my own website, bobsiegel.net. Now, these next two comments that I'm going to read come from a different source. These were some of the many, 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 many remarks posted on my new column for the Washington Times entitled Forbidden Table Talk, referring to the same subjects as our radio show, Religion and Politics. You're always talking about them at the table, and somebody says, "Can we just change the subject?" Well, we never change the subject here or in my column. Now, I discovered several years ago, and I had to discover this the hard way, that with all of the columns and blogs I write in so many places now, it was becoming far too time-consuming to counter every dissenting opinion over the internet. What I do instead now is place a little blurb at the bottom of every new article promising to respond to the opinions over the air. Can't get to all of them immediately, but in time, the reader who makes comments is invited to call in and spar with me once again after they listen to my radio rebuttal of their remarks. So why am I telling all of you this right now? Because when I have a guest, I don't take as much time for comments. And if any reader of my Washington Times column, which is very new, is listening right now, I don't want them to think I'm going back on my word. As a matter of fact, many of those comments I did respond to on Rick's Thursday show. Again, you're all welcome to download that program. I just told you how. And some of you whose comments I read, you could call me on some future Sunday if you don't like what I said about your own friendly little discourse. Of course, I'll do as many as I've had time for each week on my own program. Today, I'm going to take the time to read just two more of them. One from a person who loved my article. One from a person who hated my article. I mean, he just hated it. The article this time was called When Liberal Values Collide. And it included my satirical liberal manifesto, which most of my leaders should be familiar with by now. I'm going to read the nice comment first because, well, I just like the nice ones better. Comment one, and neither of these people signed their names, I should say. Comment one, brilliant. At the very least, this shows someone is thinking for themselves. That is refreshing in these times. I will share this with those I feel are less aware. Okay, just to show you, I don't always read the good ones. Where do you get a load of this one? I should tell you, he's responding to the fact that before I wrote this satirical liberal manifesto, I did mention that I had been a liberal at one time. And I was mentioning that one of the reasons I changed my views is I saw that every single liberal view contrasted with other liberal views eventually cast each other out. They cancel each other out. In fact, the byline under it was when values contradict, a person ends up believing nothing. So here's his comment. You need to know that's what he's responding to. Bob, it is interesting how often someone attempts to justify their current position by claiming that they once was. You too, sir. What you have presented here is not and never was a liberal platform. Using all the Rovian tricks at your disposal, you weave a warren of a tapestry that placates the tickled ears of the conservatives. Word games, two-step dancing, and political sleight of hand are skills that you seem to have fully mastered. One wonders who is more deserved, you, an author of Rovian propaganda, or those taken in by that propaganda? That was his comment. Well, my friend, if you're listening right now, if I did not accurately reflect liberal values, and if I did not accurately critique liberal values, you certainly didn't make such a case with your comment, did you? If you would like to actually discuss one of the points I made and tell me where I was going wrong, please feel free to give me a call. In the meantime, with all due respect, you yourself performed a little propaganda-style two-step around my article just now. Okay, every few months, it's fun to bring in film critic and short story writer Mark Boobian, a man who thinks outside the box, something I always appreciate, even when the two of us disagree, which we occasionally do. I am honored that Mark is with us today and honored to call him my good friend. My good friend is a little under the weather, so if you heard some coughing in the background, that was Mark. He was pressing the cough button, but the problem with cough buttons is they only cough out the mic that you're talking on, and if there's another mic in the room, you can hear it faintly. If you didn't hear it, I didn't need to say all that, but if you did, that was my friend. Mark, welcome to our program.
All right, well, thanks for having me, and well, Bob, this time we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to talk about movies specifically because the American Library Association just wrapped up their banned book week, and I thought this might be a good time to talk about banned books.
Yeah, and you know, I'll bet very few people in the country even knew it was banned book week. I didn't know till you called and told me. That sounds like something people should be more aware of.
Right, especially the guys that were trying to burn the Quran, for example.
Well, they're too busy paying attention to Paris Hilton and Lady Gaga to care about something like banned books, I guess.
Yeah, that might be the case. So hopefully we'll raise a little awareness. And, you know, I think this is actually a really important topic to discuss. Now, but to clarify things now, the ALA, the American Library Association, has two categories. They have a category called challenged books, which are books that are requested to be banned but have not yet been banned or haven't been banned or the ban was overturned, and then banned books, which are removed from the library, removed from schools, or what have you. And it is actually still to this day quite an issue. For example, there's a curriculum called the Radcliffe Curriculum. It lists the 100 best novels of the 20th century. They're called the 20th Century Classics. 9 of the top 10 have been banned.
Now, Catcher on the Rye would be one of those, wouldn't
it? Yes, absolutely.
Which was a phenomenal book. And I do remember that there was a lot of scuttlebutt
about that. Lots of controversy, yeah. And it, not only have the 9 top of the top 10, but half of the list overall have been banned. Now, That's over the years. That's not just when the book
are
released,
they still banned, or you're just saying they were banned at one time?
It depends, because the thing is, the Library Association calls all requests for bans across the country. So the book could be banned in Florida, but not in California. It even could be banned in a specific school district in California.
Oh, state by state and district by district even.
Exactly.
That's very interesting.
They're very specific. And even country by country, they have also in their list.
I imagine North Korea bans a book or two.
South Korea banned The Jungle, believe it or not, because
I've never
communist
read,
leaning.
What's The Jungle? I've never even heard of that.
I never read it myself. My understanding is it's about the meatpacking industry during the early turn of the century and how it was unsafe conditions, kind of like the documentaries.
What would be South Korea's vested interest in banning a subject like
because,
that?
Because the writer was communistic in his leanings, apparently.
Oh, okay.
So, and several books are banned for that reason. The other books are banned because...
So then all the capitalist books get banned in North Korea.
Right, exactly. That's okay. How it goes. Yes. It kind of balances itself out.
Yeah, yeah. The Equinox of the Worlds in the balance here.
We're equal opportunity banners.
That's right. We ban all books equally. We're not prejudiced here. Yeah.
Now, the funny thing about this is anybody can actually request that a book be banned. Anybody. You can walk into a library, see a book... Like if you're a bird lover, you walk to the library, you see To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't like that book. I want it removed from the shelves. You can request the library remove
it. What if you just don't like those little bird books because you think they're dorky and bird watchers?
You can request that they be removed.
Now see, at this particular moment, Mark, I'm wishing that I didn't believe in that I did believe in censorship, which I don't, because I can think of all kinds of books I'd request to be banned if I were into that.
Yeah, kind of right. But you'd be banning the silly books that nobody cares
probably
about.
Yeah.
See the thing
the
is
Harlequin romance novels, things
yeah,
like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Only the good books are really the ones that ever get banned, because those are the ones people are reading and other people see and get offended by. So.
And it's because somebody's brave enough to say something ahead of its time, and then 20, 30 years later when it's fashionable, you have a million books like that come out.
Right, that does
and yet
happen.
The poor first guy that started it is the one that gets banned.
Yeah, he catches all the flack. And it continues. Like many of the banned books are, you have the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s where these books are still being banned. The ALA maintains a couple of different lists, and they say they do it by decade right now. So the American Library Association themselves have two sets of lists currently where they've been monitoring bans for the 1990 to 1999 and 2000 to 2009. So that's how long they've been tracking banned books. So 2000 to 2009, which is about as modern as you get, is about contemporary as you get, there is a list of 100 books that are still being requested.
Okay, we probably won't get to all 100 of them in just 1 hour, but we will get to some of them when we return. This is Bob Siegel with film critic Mark Boubian.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with film critic Mark Boubian. We just had Banned Book Week and didn't make a whole lot of news. That's because Geraldo Rivera usually wants to see if there's a hurricane somewhere so that he could stand on the beach for 24 hours and you don't talk about banned books. But
right. He should actually be standing on piles of books or something.
Yes, he should.
So, you know, because this is actually far more important than many of the issues we discuss. And part of the reason is because almost certainly there has been a request for a book to be banned that you, any of the listeners, would probably want to read at some point. And the banning occurs, it can occur anywhere. It can occur in, typically it is school libraries is number one, school curriculums number two, and then city libraries, I believe, are number three. And then the list kind of tapers off into college libraries and even bookstores. People have successfully had books removed from private bookstores. I'll even give an example of that later on.
Now, these days, if some, let's say there was a book that wasn't being sold anywhere, people could... Could they still get it on
the internet. Yeah.
eBay, so we have that. Amazon would probably have some standards, but they would probably take almost anything, right?
I'm sure they do. I mean, you know, they're capitalists. They're going to take a book, and if it sells, it sells. They're going to want to have it listed.
Right.
Maybe if they get a lot of complaints and a lot of people leaving the site, that's what affects a business, and then they'll say, okay, well, we want our customers more than this book. I don't think that's ever happened yet at Amazon, and it may never, but... Given the amount of banned books that are still going on and the amount of challenges that still occur, I can actually see that as a possibility in the future. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Now, the funny thing about banned books is that no matter what your affiliation, if you're liberal or conservative, if you're Jewish, Christian, atheist, black or white, someone has tried to have a book affiliated with your group banned. For sure.
Red or yellow, black or white, Anything. They are banished from our site.
There are so many banned books out there, and they cover specifically a lot of those topics. Now, on the flip side of that, no matter what your affiliation, someone in your group has probably requested a book to be banned. So you get it coming or going. So that's one of the reasons why it's a really important topic, because you could be a conservative, be opposed to banned books, and somebody else that's a conservative be requesting books be banned at large, or be a liberal, the same thing.
Well, there's all kinds of levels of conservative and all kinds of levels of liberal, so neither camp agrees with each other on everything.
Right, exactly. But still, that you're affected by banned books, and you have the potential to affect others by banning books. So this is a kind of a widespread issue. And there's actually a book to illustrate the specifically the liberal conservative issue. There is actually a book called Free Speech for Me But Not for Thee: How the American Left and Right Relentlessly Censor Each Other by Nat Hentoff.
That sounds like a good book, and probably someone's trying to ban it so that we can't read
the
it.
The liberals and conservatives that are talked about in the book,
I want to ban the last 100 pages, and they want to ban the first 100.
Right, exactly. But that's what, you know, that's that. But that's how widespread of an issue it is. I mean, I wouldn't have thought that in today's day, I mean, day and age with the liberals and conservatives, nobody is for banning books. Who gets up and says, I'm for banning books? Nobody does. But it happens because you don't want the ideas that are opposed to your ideas presented necessarily, especially in a political sphere.
Well, it's like nobody today will say, I believe in censorship, and everybody will say they believe in free speech, but then you start hearing, well, we need sensitive speech, we need responsible speech,
and then
that's just a fancy way of saying that they only believe in free speech when they agree with it and they like it.
And how big of a step is it from there to banning a book? It is not a big step at all. It's actually no step at all. You're on banning books once you get there.
Well, especially if someone has a self-righteous cause, they may think they're saving lives by banning books or burning books.
Right. Those are pretty much, yeah, exactly. Or protecting people from, you know, racism or sexuality or other things like that.
I saw a movie years ago. It took place in the 30s when the Germans were first coming into power, and a local pastor, and this is just fiction, although it looked like the kind of thing that probably had happened. A pastor was having a book burning of all German books, and somebody ran out and tried to get them to stop it. And he asked if anyone there read German, and one lady did. So he says, could you please translate the first words of this book he was about to burn? She read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So again, I saw that in a fictitious movie, but I do think it made an interesting point.
Right. It's a good point. It's a very, that's one of the best points of all. And that goes back to what I was saying. You are... If you are for banning books because you don't like an idea, for sure there is somebody out there that's going to ban a book that has an idea that you want
expressed
in
We have
in
to protect the freedom of speech of everybody, or we will lose our own rights to
exactly.
freedom of speech.
Exactly. And so the books are one of the most important expressions of speech that has ever occurred in history.
And just to prove to all of you that I really mean that, I wouldn't even want to see DVD copies of that idiotically stupid movie Mamma Mia burned. I hated that movie, but I would protect to my grave its right to exist.
Yes.
Although why I'm protecting it, I'm sure I don't know.
Fortunately, I didn't see it, which is how I deal with movies that I'm
well, that's the best way. If you don't want to read something, don't read it. But when they start, I remember I used to go out to college campuses and I'd be doing an open forum about Christianity. Some student would turn up his stereo and I'd just go, oh, okay, see this fella? He doesn't like what I have to say. He's going to make sure nobody hears it. Right. And yet he'd probably be very insulted if I turned to him, an American college student, and called that censorship. Almost every single time I said that, they went and turned their stereos down because I think it just shamed them into a moment of decency and sanity.
Right, because I think people don't consider themselves being censoring other ideas. I mean, I was caught doing it once. I was with a friend. I was putting up flyers for a movie, and I was stapling them over the flyers for some stupid organization on campus that I didn't like. And the guy that was with me goes, hey, that's censorship, man. And I was like, oh, man. That was the most shameful moment in my college career, practically. I mean, I felt terrible, but, you know, it was true. I was censoring by stapling over someone else's flyer.
I think with a lot of values, it's always easy, and I know this is a basic thing to say, it's always easy to see the fault in somebody else. It's a lot harder to notice that we ourselves are doing it.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, like you said, you get into an ideological situation and things become important and... You know, the truth of the situation gets a little bit clouded. Now, what's interesting about the ALA is they maintain reasons for books being banned. Now, the number one reason over the years has been sexually explicit material. And this is not limited to the United States. We get called prudes all the time. I hear this on the internet all the time. You're prudes because you don't like sex and stuff. Well... This happens across the world, so...
Well, I bet it happens in Iran. I can't imagine a place like Sweden or Denmark does, or am I wrong about that?
I didn't see those two countries specifically listed, but countries like New Zealand, South Africa...
Very interesting.
Germany, of course. Nazi Germany in particular.
Well, they have a time-honored practice of burning books there.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the way it goes. So sexually explicit material is number one. Now, the number two reason for requesting a book to be removed or banned is unsuited to age group. Now, I want to qualify this one because I actually am glad that this is the number two reason. I actually wish it was the number one even, because I don't consider this to necessarily be a ban. If you're saying that this book is not right for an age group, you're saying read it later, not read it now. So... It's not really a ban, but a delay. Now, I would qualify that with, I would say that for my own children. I would not say you, other children, should read it later and the book should be removed from curriculum. I would actually say if this was a book that I felt was inappropriate for my child at their particular age, let's pick another book. You know, from the teacher, please, let's pick another book. I don't think this is right for my child.
And then let me ask you, I can understand you would want to have that thought as a parent. You don't want to impose it on others. But let's say as a parent, you're part of the PTA, the Parent Teachers Association. They want to have a teacher read a book in a class or put a book in the library that you think is unsuitable. Do you feel that you as a parent, since parents are going to get together with teachers and vote on which books are going to be in the school anyway, do you feel you have a right to go in there and make your voice be heard at that point?
Well, if I was the PTA, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm a parent and a PTA member, so yeah.
Like, I would like you and I can imagine ourselves at a PTA.
Yeah, right. Anyway. That wouldn't go well.
We have a vice principal sitting in the room looking at us going, you'd be far more responsible if you went to PTA meetings.
So. Yes, you'd be kicked out in the first 5 minutes. What are you guys talking about? What are you teaching my kids? Are you guys crazy? Yeah, that would happen. All right. So... Yeah, but now let me read to you the list. I can't read the whole list because I've got there's lists of hundreds of banned books. But
do some of the highlights, things, books you like or books that are extremely controversial, whether you like them or not.
Okay, well, let's do the top 10, excuse me, the top 10 from, let me see if I've got the list handy here. From 2000 to 2009, okay? So that's the most recent set the ALA has published for the last decade. So the first book, now this is by number of requests to ban. So this is the most banned book would be, believe it or not, Harry Potter. I'm sure everybody's falling down.
No,
the shock
no,
at that
and there are a lot of Christians that have a problem with Harry Potter.
Right.
Which you and I did a whole show on it. We don't have the same views. You love Harry Potter a lot more than I do, but
right.
I share your sentiments that Christians that were freaking out over things they didn't need to.
Right. And actually, J.K. Rowling considered it a great honor that she made this list, because as I said before, good books aren't banned. I mean, bad books aren't banned. Good books are banned.
Well, hey, I'm an author. I want one of my books banned.
Yeah, you want to get your book read?
With my opinions,
specifically because there was so much brouhaha in the Christian circles about this book, that's why I read it. I wanted to see if there was anything to it. So I said,
"Hey,
look,
felt that by the time they got to the last book, she really redeemed herself."
Well, I mean,
you liked them along the way, but you felt in the last book she ended up with an actual Christian message, and that people had to be patient and get to the last book.
I didn't think it was specifically Christian. I think there were some Christian references, but I didn't think there was anything specifically occult or pagan or witchcraft oriented in terms of real satanic witchcraft. I got to qualify that.
Right. There's a difference between witchcraft that's fiction and trying to teach real, because there is real honest to goodness witchcraft in the world.
Right. And it was very fantasy. It's fantasy world witchcraft.
The difference between Darren and Samantha and then somebody actually joining Wicca and doing real witchcraft.
Correct. So anyway, that's a great example. But right, when it got to the end, then I felt it developed a Christian theme because of Harry's sacrifice. He made a loving substitutionary sacrifice that was a reference to Jesus, same loving substitutionary sacrifice, which we...
So it was mostly Christians that were responsible for pushing to have that one banned in this case. Yeah.
Now, ironically, one of the reasons is listed, though, is religious content. Now, I don't know, it doesn't say which religious content specifically, but maybe somebody heard our previous show and said, oh, that's a Christian book, let's ban it. Who knows?
Oh, you mean, do you think somebody tried to ban it because it was Christian?
Yes.
It gets interpretive, because you and I could say, as Christians, we believe there's a God, we believe there's a Satan, we believe there's an occult. To someone that's not religious, all religions are fantasies anyway, so they might not distinguish between the fantasy of Harry Potter or some religion like Wicca. So maybe I could see how somebody might look at that and just call it religious by throwing it all into one barrel.
Right. And unfortunately, like I said, the ALA just puts it into the category called religious viewpoint. So if you came in and said, I think it's Wiccan religion, it's in that category. Or if you came in and said, I think it's Christian religion and should be banned, it gets in that category. So we don't know what specific religion Harry Potter was challenged for, but it was challenged for some type of religious viewpoint.
That gets us into quicksand, because humanism and atheism are religions too, although humanists and atheists would be the last to admit that, but they make ultimate statements about morality. They've arrived at those conclusions by faith. Anyway, we got to one of the 10 books, and there's other lists. At this pace, we'll go through a whole two of them, well, hopefully more than that, when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric. Welcome back to our program. I'm here with film critic Mark Boobian. We're talking about the banning of books. Now, Mark gave a confession of a book that he tried to censor once. In my case, I had fun motives in mind, but I must confess, I was at a Christmas party. I got an old beat-up version of Around the World in 80 Days by Jules Verne. I tore the book in half, crossed out 80, and wrote 40 days, and that was my white elephant gift. I was very proud of that, but I guess it did make me guilty of vandalism, but I paid for it. I paid a buck at the used bookstore, and I thought it was money well spent. I was insufferably pleased with myself. I noticed at the party not everybody was laughing nearly as much as me. The guy that got the gift, gosh, he wasn't laughing at all for some reason.
Well, you know, the beauty of it is if you gave him the first half of the book, he could have always gone and got the second half.
That's right. Just think of it as like you just read The Fellowship of the Rings and you still have to go to the store to buy the two towers.
Or it's the trailer before the movie, you know, right. Hey, to get you interested. Well, okay, so now the first book, like I said, was Harry Potter. I think we pretty much covered that one. Now, the rest of these books, except for the rest of the top 10 for 2000 to 2009, I have not read. So I can't comment on them specifically except to say maybe a couple of things on why they were banned. So Alice series by Phyllis Reynolds Naylor, never read it. The Chocolate War by Robert Cormier.
Boy, I suddenly feel so illiterate. And yeah. I consider myself as one who's done a lot of reading.
Me too.
I'm listening to these and I feel like I've done jack nothing but sit around and watch TV my whole life. This is putting me to shame.
What's worse is some of these I hadn't even heard of. So I it makes me feel bad. But these are good reasons to go out and read them. But why were they banned? Let's go read them and then
books that have had the word Alice in the title before. Alice in Wonderland.
So. Yeah, right. Well, there. Go Ask Alice actually is a banned book that I did read, and that is a book that I think is disgusting to be banned because it's banned for the reason that it was written. It's banned because it's about drugs and sex and terrible things, but it's a book criticizing that lifestyle. It's about a girl that falls into this lifestyle and she comes to a very bad end, and it's a very terrible thing that happens. She loses everything, and to ban a book because you don't like drugs.
Now, did it come out ahead of its time when books were not writing as much about drugs?
No, I think it was the late 60s, early 70s.
Okay, well, that's around the time when. But see, this is like what we were talking about before. You have something ahead of its time. Here's a book courageous enough to warn people about drugs, but to do it, they're going to tell a realistic story, so they're going to be graphic. So then it ends up getting banned.
Banned
it's kind
for
of
that
like
reason.
when Stanley Kubrick made his last movie, Eyes Wide Shut. The Christian community just panned it because there was nudity in the movie. But I never saw such a message in a movie. It made one of the best cases for monogamy that I'd ever seen.
Right.
And it was marketed to quote unquote pagan audiences.
Yeah.
And yet here the church is banning something that was actually
in
line with their
message.
Cause. And that's the irony.
Well, we get too caught up in the surface. We don't want to see below the surface to
exactly.
What the theme is, what the message
symbolism
is.
Over substance.
Right, exactly. So now let's see. The fourth book on the list, And Tango Makes Three by Justin Richardson. This is a ban because
of homosexuality. That one I heard of. Still didn't read it, but I heard of that one.
I've seen a couple of panels from it. It's actually a true story. So it's about two gay penguins in the New York Zoo, the Bronx Zoo.
Oh, yeah, the gay penguins.
Yeah, so it's true, you know, it's a children's book.
But I assume now, was this on the level of ban? Because I would be one person that would say I don't think that's appropriate for children, but
now,
I wouldn't want it banned from, say, the public library or Barnes
right.
and Noble.
I wouldn't request that either. I would have to read it in order to decide, because if it's a true story, well, then if they're depicting these penguins, you know, being gay and it's a true story and it's a good story, okay. But if it's all about agenda, and I don't like an agenda book no matter what the topic is.
Well, because the problem is when other people are going to teach our kids their agenda, but we're not allowed to go into the same school and teach the kids about God because and we're told that that's not appropriate. Either we have no agendas, and I don't think kids need to hear two sides of any agenda, but if you start getting older, if you want to go into a high school or a college and give them two sides, then I don't care what the other side says. It's just that I want to also be heard.
Right. Well, what I'm talking about, though, is just the book itself, not necessarily what the teacher would say about the book or whatever. I'm just talking about what the book is saying, or if the book even has a message, It's about two penguins that are gay. They really are real penguins. Is it like trying to convince children to become gay? I mean, whatever. I don't think it would be, but you know.
But it would have to awaken children to even the subject of gayness, and that's where I think an agenda could come in.
That's possible, but it's real. I mean, come on, let's be honest. They are real gay penguins. So,
yeah, but you know, for years we've said moms and dads really have sex, but we still felt that junior high was the time to start talking about
it.
Yeah,
that's true.
We kind of make an exception with politically correct.
Right.
I got to say to the audience, though, I've been to the penguin encounter at SeaWorld many times. I didn't see one gay penguin in there, but I wouldn't have known. So I guess that doesn't mean
neither
anything.
Would I have. So that's, you know, whatever. Okay, so of Mice and Men, we move from penguins to mice.
I read that one, John Steinbeck, of Mice and Men. That was a wonderful novel.
Well, the most common reason for banning a book specifically, I mean, okay, so sexual, I talked about sexual situations being the sort of, it's a blanket. That's a blanket category where it can include prostitution, reference to sex, talking about sex, having sex, whatever.
Yeah, well, this is a problem with Mice and Men.
The use of the infamous N word, which I don't think we can say on the radio.
Which is all, but we can't, yeah, and I wouldn't want to if we could, but that's right. Also the reason Huck Finn got banished from places, even though Huck Finn was making a statement against slavery.
Right. And now I haven't read Of Mice and Men, and I need to, obviously. And racism being
like
another
it.
Citation.
John Steinbeck's a phenomenal author. You would really like Steinbeck.
Right. And
I'm so glad I read one of these. I don't feel quite as stupid anymore.
You made it. Okay. So let's see. And then the next thing. I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings by Maya Angelou. I have not read this. I am familiar with her work.
To just read that title, you could say you read something. That's a pretty long title.
She's actually a poet, so this may be a poetry book. The reason I know her is because she made an appearance in a Tyler Perry movie, and she read her poem In and Out of Time during a wedding scene in the movie. Now, Tyler Perry is a Christian.
I'm assuming you like Tyler Perry. I think he makes. I love his films, and I don't think you've ever reviewed one of his films on the.
No, we haven't had a chance. I think
he is a remarkable director.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know that's kind of a sidebar, but I wanted to put in a plug.
He's
for Tyler Perry films,
and he really doesn't get enough credit. In you know, he deals with a lot of racial and Christian issues. And so I think that because he's got a primarily black cast in most of his films, he's kind of ignored by a lot of white mainstream Christianity if they're white, because they just think it's a quote-unquote black movie. So that's a bummer, because the movies are great. It doesn't matter what color the skin is.
Well, and you know,
break.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right.
If the mainstream ignores Spike Lee, he makes a big noise about it. Tyler Perry's probably a little more laid back.
Yeah,
so as a result, not as many people see his films.
And he makes a lot of money. His movies are actually very, very popular.
And
anyway,
very entertaining. They're very serious, but when they're entertaining, they're hilarious.
Right, they are.
Time.
They can be very funny. I love them. His character, Medea,
He plays several characters.
Yes.
He's remarkable.
He is. So, nothing bad about Tyler Perry here. Okay, the next book, Scary Stories, that's number seven, Scary Stories by Alvin Schwartz, dealing with the occult. Now, this is a horror series. Of course it's going to deal with the occult. It's a horror book. So, I haven't read this, but I do know that it's kind of a pulpy children's horror series, and I wouldn't let my daughter read this because I think it would scare her too much from what I have read about the books. I would read the book first before I made that ultimate decision. But because of who my daughter is, I would say this probably isn't quite right for her because it would have a negative effect on her, not necessarily because of the content. And I wouldn't say other students couldn't read it. It's just my daughter's a particular type of person that gets scared easily. The next book, His Dark Materials, is number eight. That's the Philip Pullman series that's sort of the atheistic myth fantasy book. And it's banned for that obvious reason. We actually did a show on that. I hated it. I read the first book. I hated it, not because of the message, but because I hated the story. That's it. I hated the story. And it had a terrible movie associated with it.
They made one. They made The Golden Compass, and they never made...
No, because it didn't make any money in America. It made money overseas, but because the production company doesn't collect all of the overseas money, it didn't make enough to succeed. It actually destroyed the studio that made it.
Now, just a point of clarification, Mark. If atheists are writing a book that Christians don't like, but we're dealing Do you mean it's banned from Christian schools, or do you mean Christians are exerting their influence at a PTA and it's being banned in public schools? I know you're not commenting on every specific place.
It doesn't matter. The
just
ALA
in general,
doesn't,
it got banned somewhere.
Somewhere.
So you're not commenting on it. It could have been private and public.
Correct.
Or one of the, okay.
Yeah, and it could be in a church. It could be anywhere. So okay, they just okay, maintain a okay. list of banning. Okay.
If it was banned anywhere, then all right.
Right. And then the last two, TTYL, TTFN, later Gator, that's internet speak, and that's for drugs, sexual imagery, and things like that. The Perks of Being a Wallflower, same thing. I haven't read those, but you can see how those fit into the most common being sexuality category of banning. Now, some books that I really liked have been banned quite often. Now, The Bronze Bow is a really good example of a book that was banned. It's about two Jewish children at the time of Christ who have to come to grips with their murdered parents, and they need to forgive. That's really the driving force behind the book, their lack of forgiveness, or the boys' lack of forgiveness, the brother and sister, and they're Jewish. He's going to join the Zealots. He's associating himself with the Zealots in order to get revenge on the Romans.
The Jewish underworld in those days against Rome.
And he has to come, and they meet Jesus, and that instigates the boy's ability to forgive. Now, this isn't whitewashed Christianity. This is difficult Christianity. This is Christianity where the rubber meets the road, where it's hard to do and hard to forgive, hard to let go. I mean, things that I have trouble with myself. But it was challenged because there was not an equivalent book about Judaism in the curriculum for the school that it was challenged on. So this is a classic, but it was challenged because it was a religious, specifically Christian book. Now, A Clockwork Orange, this is a great example of a banned book, okay? It was removed from
high
schools.
And this one I've also read.
Yes, now I've read. These will all be books that I've read, okay?
Anthony Burgess.
Anthony Burgess, yes. Now, these are all on the classics list, the Radcliffe list of classics. So these are all the 20th century's best books that I'm going to be covering from here on. And these are all banned. Okay, so A Clockwork Orange, Anthony Burgess. Now, it was removed from two high schools in Colorado and Massachusetts in the 70s because of objectionable language. All right, now here's my question. Did they read the book? There's underage sex. That's okay. There's a gang rape. No problem. There's murder. There's prison.
And they don't ban it for those reasons, but for some.
Yeah, right. It's language, though. Hey, don't say any swear words, guys. So it gets banned for that reason. Now, this is actually the book, though. Somebody did read the book, however, in 1973, a bookseller in Orem, Utah, was actually arrested for selling the novel. Now, charges were later dropped, but the bookseller had to relocate his
store. This is the same novel, Clockwork Orange?
Clockwork Orange. Yeah. So this is an example of an actual bookseller being stopped and arrested by the government. That's censorship. That's real censorship. And we don't hear about that in the United States very often, but that is the real deal right there. So that's why don't ban books. It's a bad thing.
All right, we'll be back to more of these bad banned books in just a moment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
If you enjoy listening to The Bob Siegel Show, check out Bob's daily blog on townhall.com. Bob is also a regular contributor for San Diego Rostra and San Diego Newsroom. And don't forget his website, www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you download past radio shows, read Bob's many articles about Christianity, and get information about Bob's books. That's www.bobsiegel.net. BobSiegel.net.
I'm here with Mark Boobie, and we're discussing banned books because it was banned book week. Bet you a lot of you didn't know that till you heard our show.
All right. Thanks, Bob. The next book, To Kill a Mockingbird. Now, I just actually read this for the first time a year ago, and I appreciated this book a lot because I was an adult. Now, this is often read to kids in junior high and high school. I would actually postpone this book to later because there are so many things as an adult that I got out of the book that I wouldn't have as a kid. I wouldn't necessarily stop schools from reading it or telling my daughter she couldn't read it if that was in her curriculum, but I just felt this particular case, as an adult, it was more advantageous. Now, one of the things about this book is we see a Christian man, Atticus Finch, acting like a Christian man in the book. He stands up to adversity when the chips are down. And it's inevitably banned, though, because now this is an older book, so it's got had many, 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 many reasons for it being banned. So I'll read a couple of the quotes from the ALA. It's called "A Filthy, Trashy Novel," uses the language "whore lady." It represents institutionalized racism in the guise of good literature. Well, yes, it did represent institutionalized racism because that is part of what the book is about, and it's against.
So, yeah, this is another guy against it, but he's portraying it.
Yeah, Harper Lee's actually a female, so it's a lady. This is the only book she ever wrote, actually, and it's considered to be one of the greatest classics of American literature. Another reason, adult themes such as sexual intercourse, rape, incest, use of racial slurs like the infamous N-word, once again, promotes racial hatred, racial division, racial separation, and promotes white supremacy all in one. So once again, those are all reasons to read the book because it's promoting those. It's not promoting those things. It's opposed to those things. But if you read it on the surface, maybe it looks like it's promoting them. You've got to pay attention to what you're reading. Okay, the Lord of the Rings series. This is a funny one. I like this one a lot.
The Lord of the Rings was
for personal reasons. Yeah, my favorite book. My favorite book ever. It was burned, not just banned.
Who on earth burned the Lord of the Rings? Oh, Sauron from Mordor burned it, probably.
Yeah, right. No, in 2001, because of the novel being satanic, a church in Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Oh, for Pete's sakes.
Burned the book. They're called Christ Community Church.
Yeah.
Now, this hits me
with Christ in quotes, yes, I suppose.
I guess so. Fortunately for me, my church doesn't put it in quotes because I go to Christ Community Church.
Well, that just shows Christians aren't that creative when they make up names, but they should learn to be, to not be associated.
Yes, but fortunately, we are not affiliated with the church in Alamogordo, New Mexico, not at all. So please come and visit us in Amira Mesa or go to our website, gotochrist.com, because we would not burn the Lord of the Rings.
Nothing boils my oil more than when a fellow Christian sets our cause back about 2,000 years.
That's right.
Christians, we're always complaining when peaceful Muslims don't speak against violent Muslims. Okay, sensible Christians, speak out against lame, stupid Christians once in a while.
Well, that's what we're doing now. So, yes, yeah, so I don't think anybody at my church knew this, so hopefully they're not going to be hiding in shame because we have the same name as this other church. Okay, Lolita. Now, this book was banned.
No, I saw the movie. Didn't Kubrick make a movie?
Okay. Right. Kubrick has a kind of checkered history when it comes to stuff being banned. He's no stranger to that. Okay, so Lolita, the book was banned as obscene in France in the 1950s. Okay.
Wait a minute. France?
Yes.
There was something too obscene
for France.
Now, well, I've heard everything.
Yeah, now if there's anything that makes you want to read the book, it's that France banned
it. No kidding. I want to find what exactly did the French find wrong with this?
Well, it's about a pedophile, technically. So,
oh, I know that. I'm just wondering what France found wrong with it.
Right. Okay, so now this is the book that was banned by multiple governments. South Africa, France, obviously, England, Argentina, New Zealand. These are governments. Now, the United States government has not banned the book. So you can be glad we live in the United States. People can request the books be banned. People can decide to remove books from libraries and schools. but the government is not doing it.
At the moment, but when, no. with some of these laws about hate speech, that's very concerning.
Because
what is hateful to one person is not hateful to another
right.
person.
Right, and again, that's why Banned Book Week is such an important thing, and it's too bad that it didn't get more press. Now, Brave New World, another book banned in Missouri because it
made... Aldous Huxley.
Yeah, made promiscuous sex look like fun. Again, what book were they reading?
And by the way,
what looked fun
if you've
Brave
all
New
just
World?
Tuned in, Mark and I don't believe in promiscuous sex, and we don't... This book of Lolita, it was not promoting yeah. pedophilia. That's just a subject that was in the book.
In the book,
in
yeah.
the book.
And it's actually really...
Wasn't promoting it.
It is really creepy. It's a creepy book. It's a creepy movie. I mean...
Well, and even if it had been promoting it, though, we still don't understand what France had a problem. France right. doesn't have a problem with anything.
Yeah, right. So I actually read part of Lolita. It's very well written, but I didn't finish it because it was too creepy. So, okay, yeah, Brave New World. Now, I don't know what promiscuous sex looked like fun in this book, because nothing was fun. It was a terrible future. They were living the most depressing lives any book I've ever read.
Was he portraying a future where the government censored and banned books? Because that would have been real no. ironic.
But
now, 1984 did that, though.
Yes, 1984.
Is 1984,
the next one on the list, Challenge
of Jackson County. Now, that one I read, George Orwell... Brilliant novel, and it's all coming true today, folks.
Yeah,
I know you think it's the year 2010. You're really living in the year 1984.
Right.
So you just didn't know that.
So yet another reason to not ban books. 1984, even with this book and us being warned about the things that the book talks about and talking about it for since 1948, we're still doing some of the things that the book warned us about. Fahrenheit 451 is another great book about censorship that has been censored.
That's Ray Bradbury.
Ray Bradbury,
it?
Yes.
So you have to mention some censored. Of these authors just so you all yeah. think I'm an intelligent,
okay.
well-read
person. I'm letting you do it. Okay. A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. Now, she's a Christian, okay?
Now, I've heard of that book. I've heard good things about
it's
that
a
book. I have never
book.
Read it.
It's
you've read it?
Yes, I did. It's a children's
book. You
know, book.
Well-written children's novels can often be brilliant.
Yes, and this is one of them. It's considered to be one of those classics of American literature for children. Its primary theme is the power of love. Now, it depicts...
You mean like they sang with Huey Lewis in the news and Back
to
the Future?
Oh, come on, Bob. That hurt.
But maybe, did they get that phrase from the book?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I just
Sorry.
Wrote that down.
I'm ruining a nice memory for Mark. I apologize.
I walked into that one, though, so there you go. I got to watch what I say on your show, Bob. You're too fast for me. So now it was banned for the depiction of witches' crystal balls, challenged in Alabama specifically for including Jesus in a list of great scientists, philosophers, religious leaders who defend Earth against evil. It was banned by Christians. This book is one of the most Christian children's book I've ever read.
And Christians, I need to point out, the Chronicles of Narnia has a witch in it. The Wizard of Oz has a witch in it.
Yeah,
there's
Chronicles of Narnia.
There's four witches in the Wizard of Oz.
And Chronicles of Narnia is a specifically Christian allegory. It's about Christ. So just so you know ahead
of time.
Now,
the witch is a bad person in the book.
Yes.
But still.
And the witch is a bad person in A Wrinkle in Time,
Well, it just shows how selective people are and how they tend to cherry pick and they don't think about what they're doing half the time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so now here's five books. The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway. A Farewell to Arms by Ernest Hemingway. The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, which I mentioned previously. Call of the Wild by Jack London. An American Tragedy by Theodore Dressier. They all belong to an elite group of banned books because they were all thrown into Nazi bonfires.
Well, no. Oh, okay. Because Call of the Wild is just about some guy in the outdoors.
That's correct.
Now, why would that...
I'm not sure why
they... Try to get in the head of a Nazi. What,
well, no. It was a very American book.
Wasn't talking about the Fatherland enough.
Yes, right. So, this does illustrate, though, that the Nazis were burning books quite profusely. I mean... For these five books, these are all, let's see, I'm not sure about Theodore Dressier, but the first four are American authors. So, and they're all their books have been burned by the Nazis.
By the way, folks, it doesn't have to be the burning of a book today. All we need is an internet czar to decide what can be put on over the internet. So
yeah,
watch
and that
it.
Would be dangerous, right?
It doesn't have to be a bonfire to be a book burning of sorts.
Now, I'm of the opinion that if you're going to ban a book, take this example, because this is the book to ban, because it has all of the things that we've talked about rolled into one. It describes rape and murder, lust, incest, and adultery. It describes homosexuality, the occult. It has satanic imagery. Satan himself even appears in the book.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
That's right. It has prostitution. Quite a common image, actually, repeated throughout the book.
Why, oh, why did this one get banned?
It's not been banned specifically. I'm saying that if you're going to ban a book, this is probably the one you should target.
Oh, wait. Okay, you're reading about this about a book that hasn't been banned.
Yeah.
Okay,
this is the one you should target if you're going to do it, because this one has everything you could ever ban
a book for. Oh, I think I know where you're going with this. This is the Bible, isn't it?
It's the Bible.
Yeah, the old Cecil B. DeMille figured out years ago how to put sex and violence in his movies before you were allowed to. He called it a biblical.
Yeah, there you go. Because it's in the Bible.
That's right.
So if you're banning books, every one of the books I cited has something in the
Bible. That was clever.
Bible.
You almost had me going.
No, I can't believe you didn't catch on.
I caught on eventually, but not as soon as I could.
Yeah, so let's see. I could read Ezekiel 23:20 here. Let me just read this
very
real quick. This is why you would ban a book, and this is why you should never ban a book, because it's in the Bible. This is about a reference to an allusion to Jerusalem spoken by God himself to Ezekiel. And God's comparing Jerusalem to a prostitute. There, she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys, and whose emissions were like that of horses. Now, there's an image for you.
There's an image I'm going to be trying to get out of my head
for the last week.
But point well made. Mark Boobian, always good to have you on. We didn't get through enough. We'll see you next week, folks.
Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.